call the August 2021.
Hold on.
Jeez, Mike, honestly, I can't take you anywhere.
Are you guys still there?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Okay. Yeah, it's really quiet.
Yeah, we're waiting for Mike to do something technical.
Sure.
He's starting the recording. Okay, we're good to go.
Okay, we're good now.
Fantastic. All right. Welcome, everybody. I'm going to call the meeting of the August 2021 Newport Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee meeting to call us to begin. It's 9:06 a.m. Could we start with a roll call, please?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. So let's start from the top. Nancy.
Here.
Karen. Absent. Cheryl.
Here.
Jenny. Absent. Jeff.
Here.
Ava.
Here.
Al. Absent. Brian. Absent. And Jeanette.
Here.
Mark. Absent. Todd.
Here.
And then I know CM and Beatrice aren't able to make it. And so we have fill in Cynthia. So welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you.
Okay. We're good to go.
Great. And then we have two guests today. One is Anita Albrecht from the city of Newport, who is going to talk to us later. She's the landscape technician. And we have Nina Roll, who is an applicant or petitioner for our tree board. And you have her application materials in your packet. Before we get to Nina, let's start with an approval of minutes from last time. You should have the June minutes in your packet. We had no July meeting this year. I'll take any comments, edits, or a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes.
We have a motion from Anjanette. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Jeff, second. All in favor of approval of the minutes as written, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Great. Okay, the minutes will stand as written. Thank you. Mike, I guess you're doing the minutes, huh? Not Judy anymore.
Yes.
Nice job. Okay, so we have a couple things on our agenda today.
I will say Judy has helped me. She's helping me on and off with these minutes.
Judy is
so
awesome.
She's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Judy is always awesome.
So thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Judy.
Mike, going forward, you're going to have to do the minutes.
I'm trying to. There's times where the workload and schedule doesn't permit it, so Judy helps me out. So she's still kind of helping on that. Oh
yeah, and here's packets, Mike.
Oh, good. So yeah.
I'm getting rusty here, guys. With, you know, it's
so I, you know, thank
haven't
you
had
everybody
an in-person
for being
meeting
here
in 2
person.
Years.
This is our first in-person meeting since spring of 2020. It's so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm so happy to see you all. Thanks for being here. I don't know what's going to happen with the Delta variant and whether things will change again, but we're here for now, and I'm really, really grateful.
Yeah,
so. Masks are not required at this time, but I'm feeling more comfortable wearing one in many indoor settings, so it's up to all of you. Okay, so the first item on our agenda today is we have a petitioner to the tree board, which is also us, and you've received her materials in the packet. I'm going to let Mike start with a few words generally about the process.
Yeah, so the process, just as a reminder to you guys, I know we recently had a re-education on the tree board process from Derek. But the process for this from the public side, they will, if a resident is interested in removing trees off of a city parcel of land or the right of way, what they would do as a starting point, they approach the Public Works Office by submitting a free right-of-way permit application. They can find that online or by visiting City Hall for the Public Works Department. Then from there, the Public Works Department will filter it through the proper channels that it needs to go through, whether they can approve it right there on the spot or if it needs to be referred to the Tree Advisory Board. And in the process, planning development and planning, community planning department is consulted also in that process to make sure that it's following within the tree ordinance code that we have for the city. So that's the simple version of how it gets filtered through and how Nina has come here with her petition because she followed that process. And so that's where we're at right now.
Great, thanks. So you've all seen Nina's petition. Nina, does she need to speak into a microphone?
Yeah. Mike,
so that she can be recorded?
I haven't been here for a really long time. Actually, I worked at Extension Service and on childcare issues and did some presentations back in the day.
I remember, actually,
it's
yes.
It's been a while.
Yes. So, Nina, let's start. I mean, we've all looked over your materials, but just for the record, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, the neighborhood where you live and the situation with the cul-de-sac and the trees and just tell us your story.
Sure, okay. Well, I live out on a cul-de-sac, actually, Klamath Place in the Lakewood Hills subdivision, and I am the only, the only person with an address that has a house on that cul-de-sac, where I'm at the very end. And in large part, it's due to the way the lots were laid out. And but anyway, so across the way, we built this house in 2000. My husband and I, and at the time we had nice ocean view, and we built the house specifically to enable us to have the most ocean view that we could. Our garage and driveway is a result of that. Mm-hmm. So, but at the time we didn't realize that the city owned the property across the way, and we figured, you know, somebody might build on there or whatever, and didn't really notice trees at that point in time, but the older trees grow up over the years. And it started to be about the time my husband became ill and passed away, 2013, it started to look like this was gonna be an issue. Mm-hmm. And we had learned that the city owned the property and we thought we'd have to find a way to work with the city maybe to cut those trees down or top them or something so that we could maintain the ocean view. Not only just for the view, but for the property values. And that's sort of my long-term goal at this point. And anyway, so the trees started to block the ocean view. I can still see in the winter, I can see through the leafless limbs. But after I retired in 17, I decided I would take this on as a project and submitted a proposal in 2018, and there wasn't really a policy. The policy was no, basically,
right.
That nobody could cut trees down. So I was informed that they were relooking at this to make it possible for people to submit applications to do that. So I resubmitted last year, but nothing was really happening. And so I resubmitted this year, and so here I am. And it's been quite a journey.
Right. And so everyone has seen there's photos and you can look at.
I guess one of the things I wanted to add, just from my own personal point of view, is the city really, and I understand I'm the only person at the end of that cul-de-sac, the city really doesn't maintain the cul-de-sac in
yes.
the manner that I see other cul-de-sacs maintain, and for instance, leaves are constantly there. You can't really see the curb anywhere. The blackberry bushes are overgrown most everywhere. And some of it is, other people's property that comes down from above, they don't have any reason to maintain that.
Right.
So it's, anyway, there's the city property is pretty much overgrown with blackberry bushes and not maintained. So one of the reasons I put in my application was no mitigation, please, is that it hasn't been maintained and it's not a real landscape issue at this point. And I'm using a trusted tree service to cut down the trees, a service that's worked with the city on other projects I know. I'm hopeful that will have some impact on the decision.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
It's hard to tell from. So that's a stand.
Make sure you speak into the microphone.
Yeah, speak into the microphone.
Oh, sorry
about that.
From the photo, it's a stand of alder in front of spruce, fir, pine.
Yes.
But it's the alders that are causing the view.
The alders are what's causing the, yeah.
Just curious, I mean,
yeah.
There's not a hillside behind, or is a hillside going down?
No, it's a hillside going down.
Oh, okay.
It's a hillside going down.
And it looks like it's going up.
The interesting thing about alder trees in that area, they're, and I didn't realize until I've been working with Coast Tree Service, they're really sort of a weed.
Yeah.
And they grow at will. And, you know, it's possible that in 20 years from now, there'll be more alder trees there for the next occupant to worry about. But, you know, they grow back. anyway.
Yeah.
Right. And go ahead, Todd.
So is the reason why you're only asking for that narrow swath is because there's bigger trees on either side of it that are more established?
Yeah. The fir trees are there, and that's basically the view that we had. It was not anywhere like the view up above, panoramic kind of. It was just this little section that you could see the ocean.
An ocean peak, is that what they call
it's,
it?
Right. I like it. You know, yeah. I actually do love my property. It's very private, and you really don't know anybody lives there, which yeah. I sort of like.
That's what you like. Yeah, I understand. Other questions? Cynthia?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Is that a buildable lot, and does anyone know why the city owns it?
The city owns it because it's not buildable.
It's a slope.
There's two lots, basically. Yeah. There's two lots right next to each other. And that's why the city ended up with them, because they're not buildable.
Mike, do you know what the general approach or the policy is with respect to maintaining those kinds of properties? We don't have the person power to do it, or I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have the manpower to really maintain it to the point where you keep out like invasive species like blackberries. I know Public Works in neighborhoods like this, they will come through and try to clean up the curb lines to keep that. I've seen that in the past where neighborhoods have requested that if they haven't been able to get to it on a routine basis. And right now, being understaffed, they're significantly understaffed right now from the yes. roadside, but they try to maintain those roads when they can, but it's hard to get to all those right-of-ways.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know they do it upon request if the neighborhoods request it.
Seems kind of like a request to me. In addition to what's happening with what we decide today,
mm-hmm.
if we could make that part of this discussion.
I'll make a note of that.
Can you make a note of that? Mm-hmm. That would be great. Maybe that will be a little bit helpful to Nina. Other questions? I want to point out a couple of things. One is that I like the fact that Nina's application specifies that the stumps will be left in place, and the reason for that is that will help with erosion. You know, there won't be an erosion problem caused by the removal of those trees because the root systems will still be there, holding the hillside in place. So that's a good thing. Could I just do something a little unorthodox here for 1 second, since Anita Albrecht is here? You know anything about trees? Can we ask you a couple of questions? Can you come to the microphone next to Anita? Is it on?
If you want spacing, you can, Anita, if you need to.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Wherever you want,
okay.
Anita. Now we're getting expert testimony. What do you think of that, people? So Anita Albrecht, is going to speak to us. We're going to hear from her separately shortly. But she is the landscape specialist with the city now full-time. Yes. So since she's here, I thought I would ask about her opinion about the relative value of these kind of alder trees. Like, weed-like, in your opinion, as Nina states?
So alders are native. They're nitrogen fixing. So they actually are the sort of first generation of trees that will come in after a lot is being cleared, and they establish, they kind of increase the fertility of the soil. They're short-lived. Typically, alders don't live past 60 years. They provide habitat.
Mm-hmm.
They are not a tree that you would plant in your parking lot or in an area where you have a structure, because they tend to drop limbs when they get older.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to say.
No, that's perfect. That's just the kind of information. So we can add that to everybody's brain bank as we're mulling this. Nina, was there any thought given to pruning as opposed to removal?
Well, it's an interesting, we had a discussion the other day because I'm looking at some other work I wanted to do at my house with Corey from Coast Tree Services. And he talked about, at this point, potentially topping them. But I don't know for sure, but.
Okay.
Because actually there's another tree that is on a neighbor's property that's that I'm pretty sure they wouldn't care about because it's not an alder tree, but I'm not sure what kind it is, but it's not. They might not even know they have that tree. So we talked about the topping that one would potentially be the right approach. Okay. Down the road, I'm not, that one's not, it's sort of like off to the side at
right,
this point.
Right, right. But
yeah, so I don't know for sure about when I first had the request, my thought was to top them, and they came back with a bid to just basically take them down.
The tree service thought that was a better approach.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Anita.
So a tree service would find it easier to take a tree down than to top
it. Yes.
Because they have to climb it, and it's...
Right. And this is on a slope, so I know that that will make it even more challenging, actually, for both actions. I will say that I did review your proposal ahead of time and wondered about this idea of waiving the mitigation requirement. And my instinct was not to waive it, and I spoke to Derek Tokos, who's our city planner, and he agreed with me that as we read the statute, it doesn't allow for waiving of the mitigation. So the mitigation can involve planting of trees, but it can also involve donating into a fund that will be used to plant trees elsewhere on city property. And I'd be happy to have that be the mitigation if we decide to go ahead with the removal. But I think it does require, in order to determine what that fee would be, we have to figure out how big those trees are, because I think it's based on the size of the trees, and I know that you said it was hard to measure that.
There's no way I could do that.
Yeah,
my son was over for a weekend, and we attempted that, and we didn't.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't.
We did
like,
not have the right equipment
right.
to proceed. Right. Put it that way.
Right. Right.
And that's something that we can do once if the board decides to remove the trees, we can get those measurements at the back end if we need to. Or as they proceed through the blackberries, that we can gather that info.
Mm-hmm. So. And I think we could make some contingencies here. Say, let's measure them and let Nina know what that would cost, and then she can decide which route to take. But I don't think that we're in a position, and I don't think it would be a good precedent, frankly, to completely waive the mitigation requirement, because it looks like we're going to be starting to have a lot more of these applications now. And I just, you know, I think that to maintain our basically our whole urban forest, so to speak, I think, you know, I get that there's not a lot of value to these individual trees, but if everybody comes in and says, I'd like to not have to mitigate, that doesn't sit well with me personally. And Jeanette, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I just... I agree in principle with everything you're saying. I would like to see, and maybe we can't do this until we actually measure the trees and talk about it, what kind of sums of money we're talking about.
Right.
You know, I mean,
I'm sure Nina would like to know as well.
yeah, exactly.
It's already costing me $1,000 more than it would have in 2018 right. to take the trees down.
Yeah, the cost is going up for everything, right?
That's right.
I feel like the statute might have...
It does have something about the sizes of trees.
Right.
Is part of that cost the removal of blackberries to get down to them? is that what they need to do? Or is it just because it's on a hill?
No, I think it's just the fact that it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
And everything gets more
But to get to them, they do have to do a lot of clearing.
And the trees are taller. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, other comments, questions? information to add to the mental database here. If not, I would like to say that my personal position, and we'll see how others feel, is that this tree removal is actually okay. I don't like taking out trees in general. I mean, we're here to protect the trees. We are the Lorax, right? But this particular instance seems actually fine to me, with the caveat that I would like there to be a mitigation requirement, and we maybe need to work a little harder to figure out what that would be for Nina. So that's my perspective. Any responses from the committee?
Cheryl.
Oh yeah, go ahead, Cheryl. Let's let Cheryl go.
Yeah, so I completely agree with what Anita said. As someone who actually works in streams and watersheds, I have issue with saying alder are just a weed. They're a native species. I agree that reasonable request, as long as there's some form of mitigation.
Okay, thanks. Todd?
Yes, I agree with everything that's come down, and I also personally I'm battling alder all the time at my property.
Yes.
So I know how that is, and they are very quick growing. I don't think it'll take 20 years to replace them personally, but I do like the thought of planting more trees in their place somewhere in the city.
Yeah, perhaps well. Not there.
Some mitigation.
Right? It doesn't sound like that would be the best idea. So how can we, Mike, help us out and understand, maybe Anita knows too, how can we go about
Cheryl Brown. Out,
Cheryl. How can we go about figuring out the mitigation piece of things?
So the mitigation piece is we'd have to get access down to the trees, which would require just some hacking away at blackberries to get there and then just making the measurements. How many trees is it that you want?
It's 12.
It's 12? 12 trees, okay. Yeah. So we'd have to just measure the diameter of each tree and then use our chart that's within the ordinance to determine if it's a 1-for-1 swap out or, you know, a 1-for-2 swap out or and so on and so on, and then go through there. And then for paying in the ordinance, there is a flat fee of, I think it's 200 or 250 per tree. Mm. As the pay-in for the mitigation, because obviously we're not going to replant trees right where we're taking trees right. out because of the view, because we'll be back here either with Nina or with or somebody else that will maybe purchase the house 10 years from now talking the same discussion. So there is that piece. So we just have to determine, really, the one thing that we need to determine is the number of the swap out based on the diameter of the tree.
And is there... is there provision to plant mitigation trees elsewhere other than the place where they're being removed from?
Yes, we can do that. We try, in the ordinance, it says you have to try to replace the trees within the areas that they're being removed from.
That makes sense.
But it doesn't make right. sense, obviously, in this case. So we would just determine, you know, working with Anita, talking with Park Maintenance Supervisor, Public Works, to determine where those other locations will be. Which is similar to the situation that we had at Frank Wade Park, and we're working through that, where we're not gonna, where the trees were removed, we're not going to replace them right at that location, okay. but we're gonna try to get within the park and other areas around town.
Okay, all right.
$150 per 12 trees is quite a large amount yes. of money.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but if there's a way to support mitigation through planting, that would be, that I imagine that would be less. And we can work with the city and see if we can figure that out. I don't think that there's another option for mitigation. I think it's plant a tree or pay into the fund, according to Derek.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You mean, that possibly planting a tree, not right there, but in another spot, within a reasonable time frame.
I think so, yeah.
So just tree for yes. tree.
Yeah, and I don't think it's always tree for tree. I think it depends on the
yeah, it shows the
size,
yeah.
right, and the value of those trees. I'd be happy for, in this case, for it to be 1-for-1 regardless, because, you know, more than one tree planted for an alder removed seems excessive to me.
I'd have to check to see if we can make those changes like that, because again, that would be kind of going away from what the ordinance is written. There is a piece in here after the 250 per tree, or such other amount established by city council resolution. And that hasn't been done, but I'll have to check. I just got to check to see if we can make some sort of
adjustment on that. Rule that the trees can be removed and but mitigation has to occur in one way or another. I hate to make Nina go through more process, but I mean, it may be necessary.
She's been
in
waiting
this
3 years.
I know
on this.
She's been waiting a long time. I wonder if we recommended a flat fee rather than the 250 per tree, would that have to go to council then?
It would. This is an ordinance, city ordinance, you know, we can't alter that. I'll have to double check on this with Derek to get a little more clarification on that. The way I'm reading it, we can't, but
yep.
The way Derek reads it, who really came up with this, would be different probably.
Right.
Could be different.
I think it's just my personal opinion in terms of setting precedent and making waivers and doing things differently. I think that it's the whole concept of not every situation is the same. And oftentimes you really do have to look at the nuances involved. This is a situation where nobody looks at those trees. I mean, the only people that look at those trees are myself and the people that use the pathway down so that they don't have to go clear up and around to get to take a walk to go to the ocean or whatever.
Sure, so I understand.
There's a path that's well worn.
I understand. No, I understand, and that's why I'm kind of leaning towards allowing removal. But I do want to note that there are certainly value to trees in general in terms of habitat, in terms of climate, I don't want to waive it completely. I really don't. But I want to make this bearable for everybody involved. So if I were to make it, let's see, I would like to make a motion that we approve the petitioner's request for tree removal. Bullet number one. Bullet number two is, Mike, I would like to ask you to facilitate a discussion between Nina and Derek, and perhaps Anita would want to be involved too, to determine an appropriate mitigation with a fee, with a mitigation fee, if that's the route that is chosen, not to exceed $1,000. Happy to accept any comments on my motion before we vote on it.
That was great.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yep. Yeah, that Absolutely. Was pretty much what I was thinking, so.
For sure.
Cynthia, as our council liaison, any thoughts about what council might have to say about this?
Your comments seem very reasonable.
Okay. You got all that, Mike?
Yeah, I have approval for the tree removal.
Yes.
And for city staff to discuss the mitigation plan with Nina to not exceed $1,000.
Right. Because 250 times 12 is
a lot of money.
Yeah. It's a lot for for this situation, I think. All right, so there's a motion on the table. Do I have a second?
I will second it.
Todd is seconding it. I'm going to call the vote. Unless there's further discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor of the motion as stated, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Fantastic. Good work, people. So this, according to statute, our decision is effective 10 days after we make it. So 10 days from today. Have at those trees, Nina. But in the meantime, Mike, will you connect about mitigation, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll talk with Derek and Anita and then get back to Ms. Roll.
Yeah. So.
I am out of town starting Friday for about a week, but I'll have my cell phone.
Okay. I'll wait to, if you're going to be out of town, I won't bother you. So, but yeah, I'll get back with you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time and listening to my story.
No, thank you.
Sorry it took so long. COVID happened.
Yeah. Have a wonderful day and everybody stay safe.
Thank you.
And thanks, Anita, for your impromptu expert testimony. Yes, Cynthia.
Question about the tree board before we leave this section.
Sure, absolutely.
I was wondering how much coordination is possible between the city and the county when the county has property within the city limits, like the school board. I know just a few years ago the school board cut down all these shore pines, which were not very large.
Right.
On, I think it's Fourth or Fifth Street.
Yes.
Do we have any way of coordinating with them before they cut down trees on school property? Having them replant what they've cut down, is there any coordination?
There's not right now. Could there be?
So with the way the ordinance is, it's only the tree ordinance only pertains to the city properties. And then whether it's a private resident or county property, they have the ability to cut what they decide to cut that's within their property line. So, you know, if it's solely on their piece of property, they don't need to apply. Even though they're a government agency, they wouldn't need to apply. They would be handled the same way as a resident. If I wanted to cut a tree down on my property that's not in the right of way, then the city really, in the ordinance, the city can't. They have the right as a resident, as a property owner, to do that on their property.
The city coordinate with the county on those things? I'm not sure how that might work. But
I think that's where we could start a discussion to have an agreement in place. Mm. I think we could do something to that effect.
I could ask for that question to come up at a work session before it happens again.
I've
been thinking about it.
It'd be worth exploring. I think we have a good relationship with the county, the school district. I think it would be worth having that discussion to talk about that.
Okay, well, I'll put that on my notes, and I will inquire about pursuing that.
Thank you. That's a great point, Cynthia. I've been also, as a side note, a little disappointed in how things are looking around some of our schools, just in terms of landscaping and maintenance. I live near Sam Case School, and it's looking a little rough there. There's nothing that we can really do about it, and I know everybody has personnel issues, right?
Yes.
Everyone's short on staff and time. But yeah, be nice to spiff up the school's landscaping a bit too. Okay, fantastic. Thank you all. That wasn't as easy as I expected it to be, but we know what to do now. So, and I do feel that, you know, every petitioner that's going to come to us would like to not do mitigation, and I'm not down with that. Personally, so I mean that's my feeling. So thanks to all of you. Mike, do you have an update on the Friends of Newport Parks and Recreation, which is the next item on our agenda? I don't know if Jenny was going to help you with that, and she's not here today, or
no? I do have a small update on that. Well, not a small update, but I have an update. My adjectives are not working correctly today. So yes, moving along with that, it is a slow process moving along with that. I have talked with Brian Norris from our committee here, and Brian and I had a good discussion, and he wants to be a part of the advisory, or part of the Friends of Newport Parks and Recreation. And then the most exciting piece that I had, and Brian is the one who brought it to me, and I think into one of our meetings, he said that he had talked with Peggy O'Callaghan, and Peggy had mentioned potentially being interested in joining the Friends organization. And since then, Peggy and I have communicated. We met once in person and by email several times. Peggy is 100% tired of retirement.
What's she been retired 6 months?
No, she's not tired of retirement. She's actually enjoying retirement a lot. But she did say that she wants to be a part of it. You know, obviously her heart is with still with the department and the city as a whole. And so she has a lot of experience with a successful Friends organization from the Friends group over at the 60 Plus Center. And so she has taken on kind of being a lead in really pursuing and taking that load more off of me in regards to working with Brian Haggerty, which is our attorney, to help re-jumpstart all of the things that we have to do, the hoops we have to jump through with the state for getting the Friends organization up and running. And Brian and I had had this discussion several times over, you know, the last year. And Peggy is now, I've forwarded her the bylaws, all the information in regards to the members, our mission and vision, 501c3 status, and then some bank account information. And then she was going to be reaching out to Jenny because Jenny has more information on the bank account. As a recap, what we've already done, we've had one meeting with Fred, Al, and Jenny. And myself, and those were the three original members that we have still on the Friends organization. Fred is no longer living in town. We did a phone meeting. We made in that meeting, we voted to realign the bank accounts themselves. So Jenny and myself are signers on the accounts, and we removed some of the old members, including Fred, off of the bank account. So now we have access to it. And we needed to have those minutes to take to the bank so we could then get all that information switched, which we have. We're still inactive with the state. We have paid off our information, we have paid off our dues, our past dues with the state since having the bank account, and now we just have to get some paperwork and correct forms, updated member information to the state. And so that's where we're at right now. Peggy's gonna take the lead on that. So now the members that we have would be Peggy, Brian, Al, and Jenny. And Brian Haggerty is going to still stay on as attorney, but one piece with Brian is he will be retiring soon. And so we're going to have to find another attorney to help us continue down this road at some point. And Peggy's going to be reaching out to Brian, and then Brian, myself, and Peggy are going to sit down and have a meeting. And then I still am waiting to hear back from one community member that I asked who has ties with the financial investment side. And my thought is with that, whether we can get him now or maybe not get him, you know, at all and find somebody else in that field is long-term as we start acquiring funds, donations, and they're not earmarked for projects that we can then turn those funds into an investment piece to see more growth. And I think we'll be able to, the gentleman that I asked, I think he will go for it because he told me this is right in his line of work in regards to community, in kids. He has two children and he's very involved with Parks and Rec. So I'm waiting for that. And then from there, once Peggy and myself and Brian Haggerty have a chance to meet, and then we'll be able to start moving forward with the proper paperwork to get to the, to send forward to the state. So we're moving along, not as fast as probably we should, but nothing's moving fast right now, I guess, in general. Right. But so that's my update. If you guys have questions.
I have an idea for another lawyer, for another attorney.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking maybe Brian Gardner would be interested.
Ooh.
So he's involved in a lot of stuff. But,
yes, he is.
He's also a personal friend, so I could lean on him a little bit.
That's a good idea.
She calls these in all the time.
I know. Brian, if you're out there, run. No,
that's right. That's right. Once we have it established, Mike, it's going to be what I need to understand as the chair of this committee is we need to keep those entities separate and independent. Yet there's, you know, I have 100 ideas already of, you know, grant opportunities I would like that committee, that board to pursue. And I don't know if it's kosher for me to say, hey, you know, I want you guys to find a grant that will help pay for this thing. You know, is that,
I think
we'll have to explore that a little.
I think there can be communication between the two groups. There definitely needs to be separation.
Yeah.
because the Friends will be its own organization.
Yeah.
And we've had these meetings internally in regards to how the city functions, and the committee, this committee is one of those things, and how the city functions with these organizations, these Friends. Mm. And they do need to stay separate. And, you know, there are some Friends groups within the city where there's a heavy participation on the Friends boards that also you see it on the committee side.
Right.
And it tends to kind of blend too much, and there's a lot of blurring of lines.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is what caused the discussion for this on the city side. And so that's where I think they're just open lines of communication. I think having some people from our committee on the board is good to create that line of communication. But yeah, we can't forcefully say, you know, you need to apply for this.
I guess
this
maybe
grant.
A list of recommendations.
Yeah, you know, and I just think
that we'd like to see that.
Yeah, and the two parties working on it, and there might be times where the two organizations don't, or two committees or groups don't see eye to eye on pursuing it, and that will happen. But I think the intent for the Friends organization, like we all know, is for the to pursue supplemental funding for programs, activities, infrastructure within the Parks Department, Parks and Rec Department, mm-hmm. which is kind of what all of our goals are, you know, as a department, as a committee, and as the Friends. So I think it'll be okay. I think we'll be fine there, but we just need to make sure we're not blurring those lines.
Okay.
And just.
Gotcha. Great. Any questions for Mike about that topic? Wonderful. Thank you. That's going to be so helpful.
I hope that helps.
Next on our agenda, I would like to reintroduce Anita Albrecht. Hi, Anita. I'm so excited that Anita has joined the city staff full time. She's a landscape specialist, and she's got already a list the length of her arm of projects that she would like to undertake and has already started to undertake. So I just thought I'd just give Anita the opportunity to introduce herself and talk about some of the projects that she's working on, and then maybe if we have time, we can brainstorm a little bit. Let's give her more work to do. No. Anyway, so take it away, Anita. Tell us things.
Yes, my name's Anita Albrecht. I've been working for the city since 2019. Full-time July of 2021, under Mike Cavanaugh. I am sitting here listening and to what Nina said, and Nancy, what you brought up in that conversation, and I kind of hope that maybe I'm just the beginning seed to the city taking on the position of an urban forester, urban arborist, that I think that, Nancy, you made the point about how if we have continued development, which it looks like we will be having, they're going to be coming and asking for more and more tree removals. It would be really nice. Anticipated that a little bit, took on the role of maybe doing a assessment of our forests, an actual counting of trees, and thereby have a little bit more information.
Mm.
People come make requests about.
I love that idea.
So yes, I think just looking ahead, that would be great. It would take a little pressure off of Derek and probably Mike too, to have somebody who could speak
right.
to.
That would be great.
So, yes, I've been doing this for over 25 years as a landscaper, had a landscape contractor's license in California. I'm currently working with Mike and Nancy on volunteering projects for the parks because we desperately need some. I'm ordering tools and pre-planning a work day on September 25th at Frankway Park. I'm working with Councilor Brian Parker, and it would be interesting to maybe link that to with the mitigation. Brian Parker wants to create an urban orchard. It's kind of like a community garden, except instead of vegetable plots, it's trees. And we are currently looking at Sam Moore Park as a location for this. It's just beginning to be discussed, but if we have some funds from to purchase trees, this would seem like a real nice fit, hand in glove.
Mm-hmm.
And then the volunteer project, the urban orchard, any landscaping that might come down the road. I think we're really waiting to see how. Don't hold out high hopes that there'll be a big project until we know the results of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a little project with Mike through Parks Programming, doing something called a Bio Blitz campaign for.
Hmm. That's an awesome set of stuff. I want to make sure in particular that Anita, you and Todd Chandler are hooked up because Todd is the our Tree City USA person
at
this point. And he's going to need to know about all of these projects because that will support our annual Tree City USA application. And we're also hoping maybe even this year to get a growth award from them, where there's a sort of a point system for various tree-related activities that you undertake above the minimum required by Tree City USA. And I think for sure we've done those things in various ways in the city. It's just a matter of pulling together the information. So I'm gonna hook you guys up for sure.
Now I have good intentions, but it's been hard for me to figure out the whole system. And for one thing, government stuff is hard for me to figure out the way that you all do things and the whole process. But yes, I'm eager to try to do more. I haven't done a whole lot, but participate in some of the conferences. And I know there's one coming up that looks like there's a lot of it has to do with like the drier regions and I think on the eastern side of the mountains and stuff. But there are a few topics that look quite interesting in the next, I think it's the Oregon Tree Alliance. Yes. Mike said you were registered for that and somebody else with the city, but I'm going to try to sit in on that as well. It's in the middle of September. But yes, I'd like to meet with you and Mike at some point and see how we can kickstart some more of the Tree City stuff and get some more awards. And one question I had for you, do you think a tree assessment and inventory could be a citizen science project? Or everyone has a GPS on their phone now, and they can stand at a tree, and they can enter information and do things that way. But that might be.
I think we can do something like that. I know that a similar program to this iNaturalist program, where it would be an app style, and even the iNaturalist maybe the. I think it's more directed towards pollinator plants. But there is another app out there that we saw, Judy and I saw it through NRPA, the National Recreation Parks Association, where it's a similar program where you are promoted to the public, they download the app, and then it's the public as they're going through trail systems, through parks, and they can identify, you know, this tree at this location, and then there's a pinpoint with a GPS address that's attached to it. And then slowly over time, the program, if I remember this right, because I think Judy shared it with me like 8 months ago, where then as it kind of picks up steam and the public gets aware and there's more public notice about it, it eventually your inventory, instead of paying, a forester to come in and really do a thorough tree inventory, you kind of start to get an understanding and snapshot of what is in with the park system for tree inventory wise. Similar program to what this iNaturalist program and just empowering the people. So I would have to circle back and look at that and talk with Anita about it too, because that's something to be interested to see how this iNaturalist works and. This could be kind of that stepping stone into a bigger project,
yeah,
for sure.
I also think we could maybe ask OSU Urban Forestry Department if they might have any graduate students that are doing this kind of a program.
And I think at the middle school too. I think the middle school has a class where one of the teachers will take them down into Forest Park because there's a trail access point from there, from the middle school down, and they do some environmental stuff back there. I'm not exactly sure if they're, one, still doing that program, and two, how that program structured, but that would be another way of empowering, you know, through an education program style where we can incorporate that. So I think college students would be great because we did have one. We had one graduate student do that a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
right before COVID.
Yeah. I send Anita that stuff actually from Paul. So he started to do an assessment, such an assessment, very preliminary for Forest Park. And he's still around, this guy, and I think would be a great asset if we could drag him in too. I could picture a sort of a hybrid project that was, you know, led professionally in terms of an urban tree assessment or urban forestry assessment for the city, but that had these pockets of student participation and citizen participation. It'd be really neat to put together. And Anita's right. We really good to have that as a baseline for these, for future petitions that come to us. So it'd be really great. Yeah. Yep, Cynthia.
A great idea, but also I'm always mystified at how long it takes government to work too. I agree with you, it's a slow process. When you're spending taxpayers' money, you have to go through the process. So I think something I can do for you and for our city is to ask the additional person to be hired by the city to be the forester, or whatever you call that term. That's kind of how the process has to start. You have to ask for it, and it has to go through the budget committee.
Right.
So it's not fast, but it certainly is something which I don't think anyone could argue is not needed.
I agree.
I'm glad to help with that process.
Great.
Too.
Excellent.
And our goal setting session will be January or February.
And we should keep in touch because we set goals too. So, you know, we can support each other that way. Excellent. I want to just say a couple more words about, Anita mentioned this volunteer program in the parks. The vision is that over the months, years, that we would be able to organize sort of a volunteer cadre of folks who have an interest in any particular city park, whether they're neighbors or whether they use that park heavily for something, to have these cleanup days where we have city staff there as well, and we can do weeding and we can do trimming and we can do other kinds of basic labor in these parks. And so the three of us met to talk about starting at Frank Wade, as Anita said, and that will be on the date that Anita said, in September. And I think that's an ideal place to start because it's certainly in the middle of, you know, a bunch of residential neighborhoods, so there's lots of use of that park by the residents, but there's also pickleball players who come use it, there are tennis players who come use it, there's baseball as a whole separate thing practically there. So I'm excited to see how that goes. And we'll make sure that you all know about that as it moves forward, and I hope some of you will show up even if you don't live in that neighborhood. It's gonna be fun, actually. So, yeah. Thanks, Anita. Other questions, comments? Thanks. We're glad you're here.
Thanks.
Anita has been a nice and awesome addition to the department.
Yeah.
She's been doing a great job prior to coming on to the department, and she's been a great addition, so I'm looking forward to the future.
Excellent. Thanks.
Thank you.
See you soon, Anita. Mike, it is time for the director's report.
It's like reliving a nightmare. No. No, it's not that bad, guys. It's just the times that we're in. That's what it is. So from department report for June, a lot of interviews that we're going through, and we are short-staffed from the middle management side and from our front level, our front line staff. So in the month of June, went through park maintenance interviews, in person and phone interviews. We narrowed it down to three qualified candidates for in person, narrowed it down to two, and then after going through that, both positions or both individuals, candidates, decided not to pursue the position. So we are back to restarting over, and we are doing in person interviews now, today actually, for the park maintenance position. I am going to be losing Jim Gunther, who retired but came back immediately the very next day of retirement to work part-time for the city. But Jim has had a taste of some vacation, which is the taste of what retirement is.
Darn it.
But no, Jim has done a phenomenal job, and he has given his notice that he is ready to retire. He wasn't thinking this hiring issue that's happening across our nation would have carried over or even happened. And he hung in there from April all the way to now, and he just said today, or the end of the month, is his last being with the city. So he's going to move on to retirement, green pastures, and we're going to make do. The crews are doing really well. So,
do you have any indication why the two candidates changed their mind?
Yes. So the first candidate, Anita, she had applied. Well, during the application process, there wasn't a final word on whether the landscape position would be a full-time position. And then when we got to the interviews, at that point it had been finalized, the budget, and I don't blame her. Her heart is landscaping, and she said, and I know she would have done a magnificent job in the park maintenance role, but her heart's with landscaping, and she wanted to stay in that role, which fully understanding. And then the other candidate, he informed us after we offered to him. He said that there were some personal issues that were happening and he needed to stay within the area that he was for his family. And so that's where we're at on that one. So
I was just wondering if it was childcare, but not in these cases.
Yeah, not in those cases. And we are being honest with people about it is tough finding housing, but we would work with them to help them on that. So I also met in the month of June with Spencer, city manager, city attorney, David Allen, and a resident that's around the recreation center over concerns of the transient homeless population that is using our facilities and our property on off hours and the issues that's occurring and off hours of when our building's not open. And so there is COVID has created, obviously a lot of homelessness situations, and we're experiencing some of that over on the rec center side and the 60 plus center side. And so we're working to figure out how to prevent any type of facility or infrastructure damage, but also staying within the rules and the laws that we have to follow in regards to the rights of these, the transient community or the homelessness population. So, constantly working with them and talking with them and informing them, educating them not to do certain things in the areas. But, after hours when nobody's around, they tend to do other things. So working on a solution, hopefully there's more discussion to be had, but we look like probably our alcoves will end up being fenced in due to the damage and type of use that's happening within the alcoves. But then, of course, our right-of-way areas will stay open still. So that's the solution that we're looking at there. We finalized our recreation business plan, our RFP for the business plan, and currently going through contract negotiations to finalize that service agreement with the business that or the consulting firm that we decided on. We went with Green Play LLC. They are based out of Colorado, but they have an office out of the Portland area, and their presentation and packet was very, very detailed, very thorough. They spent a lot of time with it and very excited to get rolling and moving on this business plan. So we should have some more information to provide you guys in hopefully the next month or two. You guys as a committee will have definitely have input along with city council and our budget committee. So the structure of that is at the beginning of building this plan, and at the end we will have input from the advisory committee with city council, with the budget committee and city staff to find out where we want to go with this plan. And additional items that we might want to add in, concerns, and then in regards to the scope of the plan that we've laid out. And then on the back end, there will be a meeting with the committee, a joint committee and city council meeting to review the draft, the final draft of the plan before it goes in front of council for finalization. Okay. So looking forward to that. there's going to be a lot of good stuff, hopefully, that will be coming out of that plan, a lot of good information to give us a roadmap of where we need to go with our three recreation facilities and how we structure activities, how we structure our fees, and how we can, you know, in the end, hopefully lessen the burden that our Parks and Rec department puts on the general fund, and we can help lower that from the bigger city budget side. I've met with some stakeholders within the community that are interested with the UV system for the Aquatic Center, and that's still ongoing discussions, looking for more investors to potentially help out. We have some people that have approached us that have some significant funds for donations for a UV system. And so working to kind of fit all those pieces to hit that grand sum total, which I think is definitely doable for all three bodies of water over at the pool, getting a UV system here in the near future. So looking and very excited for that. The sports side, Billy Bechtel started, which I would love to get him eventually in front of you guys as he gets a little more settled in, and I think Nancy and I have discussed that, and Nancy will have some information. But Billy started in the month of June, came to us from San Diego. He worked for the federal government on a Navy installation base doing recreation. Have a little soft spot for military recreation. That's where I started my career. We're doing it for the Army. And so Billy's very smart, very thorough. He's sharp as, man, he's so sharp. He's already making changes, and I've empowered him. You know, I felt weird coming, being this former sports person and him working underneath and feeling pressured. And I have totally told him this sports is his boat now, and he can drive it. He's the captain of that ship. And I definitely am not Mr. Perfect, and I did not run sports 100% perfect. And so he's hit the ground running. He's made a lot of great changes. He's jumping right in and meeting the community. He started up our adult softball leagues, our men's league and our co-ed league, and our kids' camps, summer camps that have been our weekly camps that we've done every year have been filling up, and they're all outside camps, which has been good. And they've all filled up except for one camp, and so that's an exciting news. And then Billy, he started, I think, a week or 2 weeks right before the mountain bike race, and so he got trial by fire with the mountain bike race and learning the ins and outs of that with me. And that went really well. We had, for our first year back, 119 or 120 participants, which was phenomenal. You know, I wasn't expecting that. Normally we get about 200. And so to have a little bit over 50% was great. And that's kind of what everybody's seeing, these first year events back, coming back in. And the participants of the race loved it. They didn't care about prize money or their trophies or anything like that. They all just said, this was the best race I've done, you know, and we're so excited that this is a true mountain bike race that has come back, and it really kind of put Newport in a bright, shining light. And especially it was really shocking because it was raining the first right. that day, and I think weather. The day before, yeah. three yeah. days. Oh, so yeah. it yes. had the God feel knows. Of like April and May, even though it was in June, and the riders just loved it. And we were worried about conditions of the course, and they might think it was, you know, with the changes we made, sloppiness or anything, but they all just loved it. So they had a great time. So I was glad we got to do that event. Aquatic Center. Dealing with a lot of facility issues over at the Aquatic Center. We've had HVAC systems go out. We've obviously have the pool crack situation. And then it turns out we believe we have some rebar that is behind. It just continues to happen at the pool. We have the rebar that is within the walls of our activity pool. So the crack is in our big lap pool. We have rust stains that are coming through the plaster in our activity pool. We tried to use an acid wash on it, thinking it was a surface level stain. It didn't remove it, and that led us down the road to believing that we have rebar that is underneath that is being exposed to water and rusting through. And we have multiple spots that are like that. So working with Public Works to get an RFP to get all these repairs done at once, and working with the previous architect and construction firms that were involved with the build, and they're helping us significantly to rectify these issues. And our hot tub is also looped into all these repairs and the chipping that we have there with the plaster, and that will have to be replastered because the the plaster thickness isn't as, it appears not as thick as it probably should have. So we're going through that. So there's more details to come on that, and an RFP should be developing, and we should have a better timeline of when and all these repairs are going to be done.
I read that insurance is going to cover most of that, all of it, part of it?
I don't know. We're discussing that with insurance. We've done some on-site meetings, and so they're still waiting for more information back from the insurance to find out on that. So Public Works has been involved with those discussions. The engineer, city engineer, and myself have met several times with them, and they've taken pictures. So we've got a three-way conversation internal happening between the departments, then us with insurance, then us with architects and construction of the project. So it's interesting, but there's a lot of hands in the pot, but we're working on the timeline, and we hope to have it fixed soon. We're staff shortage on the lifeguard side at the pool. We have brought in some new lifeguards, but we are seeing some lifeguards that are planning on leaving also in the future. So it's kind of just a handoff of the baton. But we're experiencing some shortfalls there on the staffing side with lifeguards. But even with the shortfalls, they're plowing away with programs, and they've done a really good job with jump-starting our swim lessons back up. Before protocols or mandates were removed or changed by OHA and the governor, we had private swim lessons happening. But now that we're back open, we have group lessons happening again for all age of groups. And we're still trying to space out and have as much social distancing as possible and as little interaction with staff, with the kids, and parents. And we're encouraging parents to jump in the water, but they're doing an excellent job over there. And our swim lessons are filling up within 5 minutes of them opening. So it's a very popular program. The rec center side.
One question about the aquatic. Is the UV system something that has come up because of COVID, or is it, what is the desire for the UV system?
So the UV system, what would happen with that, we built it when the building was built, it was the pump system, everything was built in where it would just be a plug and play set up for all three bodies of waters on the pumps. The UV system will cut back in chlorine usage, which will significantly reduce our budget, obviously. Power also, less filters or less pumping of chlorine, so that does drop down our power significantly. So there'd be less chemical in the water, and that's the main reason. You know, there's a divide of what swimmers like. Some like salt water or no chemicals, and then some like, you know, the chlorine. There will still be a chlorine use, but it would significantly reduce the amount of chlorine we would use, which would provide a safer facility for the users. There has been studies, and I've actually talked with a parent recently, a former swimmer, high school swimmer, where after he left high school, he ended up finding out that he had a breathing issue. And it turns out they tied it to the chemical vapors that sit on top of the water. And from every practice, turning his head to breathe, he's sucking in those vapors. And it doesn't affect everyone, but it does affect some people. And so that's what the UV system will be. And in regards to the infrastructure updates, not much needs to be done because, again, it's plug and play. So it's just buying the system and learning the program to run it. So it should be a pretty smooth transition. It'll be beneficial from the safety user side for our community and our patrons, but it's also, it would be a beneficial side for us from a budgetary standpoint. And in the discussions I like that I've had with the stakeholders is another huge piece is it ties right into the DEI plan that, for the city as a whole and our department, where I don't like the fact that we're excluding users just based on our operations of chemical use. That's not great either. And I know of users that go to the Embarcadero and they won't come because of this until we have a UV system in place. So it creates more openness and inclusion for the entire community. So that's the exciting part about it. On the rec center side, Judy is bringing back, she's working hard to bring back with her staff instructors and getting more programming classes going within the rec center during shutdown. And it's been a policy that we were working on for years. It was quite difficult policy to meet the standards that the IRS has in place for instructors and how we classify them as a contracted instructor or a city employee. So we have a new process with that, and it takes a couple extra steps, but it's financial. It covers us in liability with basically the IRS by doing these extra steps. And so she's doing that with staff. She has Brenda Lunzelbach, which is our fitness instructor. And we've kind of worked with Brenda, dialing back some of her classes, obviously, because we're just restarting and making sure we have patrons that are coming into the building for classes with Brenda. But Brenda is also being the lead for recruiting and working with these other instructors that want to provide programs and activities. So she's doing a great job.
Is she, may I ask, is she now a full-time employee?
Brenda is not. That position, we just brought it back at the same level as where it was prior to her leaving with the city, or prior to us shutting down with COVID. So with Brenda being back, her programs that she has started, it's just like through the roof of people coming in and into the building using it with what Brenda's doing. And she's just, God bless her, her schedule's all over the place, and she has got a full day from running classes to running individual trainings with patrons as they're coming back to learn the equipment, to learn what they need to do in regards to movements and for their fitness side. So she's doing an excellent job. Park maintenance, we're short-staffed there. We've had a lot of we've had some issues in regards to staff having to be out for certain periods of time for personal reasons, medical reasons. We're losing Jim Gunther here soon, but they're doing a great job. Between Jim and myself meeting with them regularly, communication is increasing. Team morale is getting better. I'm seeing that as we're going through the weeks. So things are going really well there. We've got a better game plan and schedule-wise and how we need to operate throughout each day and what we need to be targeting in the parks and when we need to be targeting specific parks. You know, Don and Ann Davis should be a regular park that we're hitting because, you know, everybody goes there. Nye Beach, everybody goes there. While maybe some of these other parks, maybe we don't need to go to them weekly if we can. Still getting overload in trash. It's just ridiculous the amount of trash that our guys are having to pull every day. Our guys are now getting to the point, it went from trash once a week to trash twice a week to now we're doing trash twice a week, and we are trying to remove trash instead of emptying a full trash can that sits 8 feet down in the ground. We have trash cans that are 8 feet down in the ground. Our guys, takes a lot of work to empty those and reline them. Our guys are actually removing trash out of them and putting them in other bags just to keep levels at a decent level to contain the trash that the users are putting in there instead of it piling up around trash cans, which we are seeing all over the place right now. The gray cans that belong to Thompson Sanitary, constantly getting phone calls of those being full and constantly having to communicate with Thompson's to get an emergency run down to those. So those guys are just, they're swimming in trash. We're working on trails. We have some projects coming up for Ocean to Bay Trail and getting some more rock material lined on the Ocean to Bay Trail. So that's coming up. And working with our jail crew to get them lined up to help alleviate some of these jobs that they can do where we can push our park maintenance crews to other areas. And we hope to have park maintenance supervisor on soon to really spearhead all this and come up with a solid, better plan as we move forward. It's kind of just piecemealing, patching things together right now, and the team's doing an awesome job. In the month of June, Dee at the 60-plus center came on board. And all through the month of June, she basically was getting the facility ready to open. The facility reopened on July 12th. Dee has been a one-woman show over there, especially while the building was closed. And she was cleaning house, going through old storage areas. Storage is always an issue in our facilities. She cleaned out a lot of old items that we had, working with Associated Cleaning to do a thorough deep cleaning of the facility, bringing back volunteers, calling all them back, going through the proper paperwork for the city on that, recruiting them, getting those staff levels back up, or I call them staff levels, the volunteer levels back up, working on programming and revitalizing, rejuvenating the programming that was happening during COVID to being more in person if we could, working with Meals on Wheels, getting a few of those things. And then she's been doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff that Peggy really had started, stuff in regards to accreditation for that facility, and trying to continue that. And then also with NRPA and the grant programs that we have with them, with Walk With Ease and type 2 diabetes and evidence-based programming. And she's doing a great job. She's learning on the fly, and she's drinking from a fire hose, but you know, she's doing an excellent job at doing that. So I commend her, and she's doing a phenomenal job. And I will say our staff is just, you know, at times it feels like we're drowning, you know, from every side, but our staff just continues to, you know, they just take it on the chin, and we kind of chuckle about it, and we're like, hey, we'll just pivot and we'll try to keep going, and we'll think of a backup plan to the backup plan that was already for another backup plan. And they're doing an excellent job. You know, we're pivoting and changing numbers, reducing, you know, we're short on rec leaders, short on building tents, short on lifeguards, but we're restructuring programs, limiting, you know, our numbers of people in programs, if that would help on that side. So we're doing everything that we can where we can still service the public, still keep our building open as much as possible. So I my staff is doing a phenomenal job, and I just wanted to commend them for that. So, and the parks are doing an awesome job too.
Thanks, Mike. Questions for Mike? Anyone?
That was a lot. Sorry for rambling.
No, that's a lot happening. We haven't met in a while too, so.
No, but I'm just curious about this, about why the fitness person, I mean, Brenda was great, as you know. I mean, Brenda is great. And her classes got more and more participation. So why is she not, I knew she wanted to be full-time at one time. I don't know if she still does, but.
Yeah, I know Brenda definitely wants to be full-time. Judy, you know, in past years, every budget year, this budget year, we didn't propose for it to be a full-time position just because of the budget issues and just, you know, not knowing exactly how the future might be coming right out of COVID. And so we made the decision to just be a little more conservative on that end. You know, in past years, I know Judy has asked for that position and for our recreation program specialist position, our coordinator position, to be full-time. That just boils down to priorities and budgeting and working to get those positions. Because the cost of a full-time position compared to a part-time position, you know, what they would bring home in salary pre-tax is almost the exact same cost of what the city incurs on the backside.
Right.
And
right.
So it's a pretty big addition to do a full-time position compared to a three-quarter time or a half-time position. So, you know, and it's priority levels across all the boards, all departments, and it just hasn't gone through in past years. Judy and I have talked about, you know, moving and trying to propose that in future years. It would be a piece that I would love to see, but
okay,
there's other priorities each budget year,
which makes total sense. I just know that, you know, it's many positions are not being filled because there's nobody to fill them, and here's somebody who wants to fill a really important position within. I mean, she's not offering classes she was before. Maybe she will eventually. That I mean, personally, but I mean, I know the community at large. She's just a fabulous resource for Parks and Rec.
She is, yeah. Her and Jenny, who's in the recreation programming specialist job, both of them, they do phenomenal work. And, you know, I'd love to have them as full-time positions. Really would.
Maybe next year.
Mm-hmm. Budget landscape may change depending on how these tax votes go.
Yeah.
So. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Public comment, we have no public members in attendance at this point. Committee comments, I of course have a list, but I'll just keep it to two quick points. One is to remind everybody that the city is currently taking comment on the transportation system plan, and I would encourage you all to take a look at that and comment. I will be doing so with my Parks and Recreation Committee lens on, and seeing where we can find opportunities to support those projects that contribute to our own goals. Of course, I have, you know, as a citizen of the city, I have larger concerns about transportation as well, but so I'll be sort of looking at it in both ways. So take a look at that. I think I sent you guys around a link. I also got a postcard in my mailbox at home anyway that said, hey, yeah, do this. So, and it's also just, if you go to the city's website, it shouldn't be hard to find. So I'd encourage you to do that. And just to follow up on something that we talked about last time, I did prepare a memo, a draft memo to council outlining our progress on the Parks Master Plan and our requests and priorities for the coming year or so. And Mike, we need to move that forward. You have a draft of it, I think. I sent it to you to look at. So we're working on that, and that'll get sent to council soon, I hope.
That should be on the next agenda.
On the next agenda. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So that's a quick update. And then finally, something else that we've been tracking over the years on this committee is the set of trails that the Newts group is developing out at the reservoir. And I just wanted to say that there's been a lot of progress made out there. And as a member of the Newts, I had to go and do an inspection, of course, of the work. I can't help with the work right now because I have a bad back, but I can help in other ways. So I inspected the trails multiple times. And they're awesome. They're going to be a wonderful asset to the city. I just wanted to say that group is doing a fantastic job. So those are my committee comments. Are there other committee comments, other issues, questions?
This is Cheryl.
Yeah, go ahead, Cheryl.
Sure. I just wanted to mention about the swim meet. So the Newport swim team was able to have an actual in-person swim meet, which went over great. There were about 120 swimmers from out of town plus 29 local swimmers, so about 150 swimmers and their parents, and it was great. We were so appreciative of the pool staff. Swimmers had a great time. It felt somewhat normal.
That's wonderful. That's great. It was a busy weekend that weekend at the pool, huh?
It was.
Yeah, that was great.
It went really well, like Cheryl said, and the staff did an awesome job. And the swim club did an amazing job, too, working together, everybody being on the same page. So it was great.
And Cynthia had a comment, I think.
Yes. Actually, I would like to ask for the committee support for a project I've been advocating, since you're all tree people. It has to do with the South Beach Urban Renewal Agency. We have just finished taking public comments on that, but there will be more time to chime in and tell the committees what you might like to do. I am advocating lived here. Does anybody remember all those cypress trees? They were some were still here when I moved here almost 25 years ago, and they were in the area where the motel is, and between the motel and the aquarium.
Oh yeah.
And they were taken down to build a motel and parking lots. Just like broke my heart. There are still some left, and I am advocating that the remaining ones be designated as some kind of them. Some are on private properties, but when they do the replanting and some of the revitalization there, I would like to see cypress trees replanted.
Great.
They are of moderate growth. I'd like to see that happen. So if you have a chance to, I welcome it.
That, thank you. That's a great idea. And I should add that we should all be also commenting on the South Beach Urban Renewal Plan as well.
And the TSP.
Yep.
Tomorrow night. Wednesday night.
Yeah. Right.
Trees should be a big part of it.
Yes. Agreed. Okay. Other committee comments? Meantime, we'll look at... Our next meeting, if we stick to our current schedule, our normal schedule, I should say, of the fourth Tuesday, that would put us at September 28th. I think we should try to to keep to that schedule for now. So 9 a.m. will be in person again, I hope, you know, if depending on what happens with the virus. And in terms of an agenda, I'm looking at the sort of the year's worth of meetings that I roughly sketched out earlier. And what I had scheduled for September is an update from the 60-plus center director or board chair and discussion of items of mutual interest. We could stick with that. Mike, do you think that you will be ready to talk about the department's DEI plan at that point, or maybe push that to October?
If we could push that to October, that would be nice.
Yeah, we can do that. But remember, I'm not going away on those issues.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I just...
That's what I told Spencer after, you know, after the council approved the plan. I said, that's great. I'm really glad. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. So I'll be back. And, oh, integrated pest management. Is there going to be something that we should talk about next month, or is that something else that we should push? Or
No, I can actually bring the draft plan to you guys.
Perfect.
Policy I've already presented at City Council. It's still a working draft. There's still a lot to be done on it, and working with several city departments and Anita. Anita's been playing a big role in that. So I should have some updates that council hasn't had a chance to see, but you guys haven't even seen the draft plan yet, which would be good to bring in front of you guys so I can do a presentation on that.
Let's plan on that then. Mm-hmm. For September. Yeah. And it sounds like potentially we might have another tree petition applicant.
I don't know. Yeah, it was just a kind of just looking,
like,
into it. Yeah, offhand conversation. Okay. So I don't know how quickly that might go. So
okay,
we'll see.
All right, so maybe we'll see how that develops. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, of course, if anybody has anything else that they'd like to add, please let me know. We can do that. We can be totally flexible. Otherwise. Yeah, that's what we've established, the next meeting date. And any final comments for the good of the order? Y'all are awesome. I'm going to adjourn us at 10:32 a.m. Thank you all. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Cheryl. Good to see everybody.
Yeah.
In person.
Sorry for that last minute switch.
Not a problem.
Next time. Until next time.